So remember a few weeks ago I told you I wanted to talk to you. We would start, I always hesitate to say series, because I know how I am. If something comes up in me, I'll bring it. So I don't like to promise something I may not do. But I told you I wanted to talk on the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to all along. But every time I start to talk on the Holy Spirit, it'll change over, and I'll begin talking about Jesus or his works or what he did and what he's done for us. Like last week, he is our wisdom, he's our righteousness, our sanctification, he redeemed us. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. I found it's just hard to talk about him because his work is to guide us to Jesus. And so he won't hardly let you give him any attention because he wants it all pointed back to Jesus, and that's okay, amen? So there's a lot of controversy, you know it, over the years as we've grown up, especially in Pentecost, about the work of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And so there's always been that debate about the oneness of God too. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then you've got certain denominations that say, well, they can't be three. They're all one. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one. And it's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. And yet they believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just don't know how they do that and get by with it. But you've heard the old way of explaining the Trinity, and it really is a mystery. It really is. But you men are a father, you're a son, and you're a brother, you're a grandpa. So you can be three things when you're a man: a father, a son, and a husband. Let's just keep it simple: father, son, and a husband. You've got water, vapor, and ice. When you eat an apple, you've got the red part of the apple, the skin on the outside, you've got the meat on the inside, and the core or the seed in the middle. You've got the egg, you've got the outside shell, you've got the white, and you've got the yolk. So it's easy for me, and I believe it's easy for most of you, because we are Trinitarians, to believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's so many reasons why, because when Jesus was being baptized, they heard the Father's voice saying, the Father said, and you can read it in John, this is my, who? Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then it says that the Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. So you had the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost right there, all three. Yes, they are one, because they're the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They all three bear witness in heaven. And then the Bible says, and they are one. Just like our body, our soul, and our spirit, we are one. Body, soul, and spirit. Mom, daughter, wife. Okay, I'll leave that. I think we got it. But last week, I talked to you about the Corinthians and how they were so full. Only when Paul was writing it was only like 30 years from the resurrection of Jesus. But let me give you another one of his readings tonight. This afternoon, I finally made it to my office, and I happened to bring my preaching Bible. Okay, this isn't my study Bible, but it's one that I minister from on every time right here. So it's the one that I picked up and brought. Okay, so there was no study with it. Well, I'm thinking, let me read another one of Paul's writings. And I remembered some things about the Holy Spirit. I thought, well, I'm going to try to pick that up again, Holy Spirit. But then it tied in. See, this would have been a good series from last week. Because then it tied up again with this. In Ephesus, Paul was writing this from the city of Ephesus. Last week it was Corinthians. Let me read you what just one little paragraph says in the front of my Bible, in the just as it's beginning to start the book of Ephesians. Listen to this. Ephesians is addressed to a group of believers. Remember that. It's addressed to a group of believers. These were not heathens. They loved God. They were believers who were rich beyond measure in Jesus Christ, yet living as beggars. And only because they were ignorant of their wealth. Paul begins by describing in chapters 1 through 3 the contents of the Christian's heavenly bank account. And then Paul talks about adoption, acceptance, redemption, forgiveness, wisdom, inheritance, the seal of the Holy Spirit, life, grace, citizenship, in short, every spiritual blessing. And he says that in chapter 1. And then it goes on to say the Christian learns a spiritual walk rooted in his spiritual wealth, for we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus to good works. We are the workmanship means like a masterpiece of God. Every one of us are a masterpiece. So here you've got another city that is full of believers, and the believers have been so abundantly blessed. Jesus went in and again bought them out of sin and paid for us and redeemed them. He redeemed us. I said, I'm getting us and them. But he redeemed them off the curse of the law, that you would be punished and put to death if you broke any one of the laws. And they have been so blessed with what Jesus did. And many of them received the gospel from the words of Peter and Paul and the anointing that was on their life. So they received such a blessing. Well, when we move on here, you'll see that Paul tells these believers, he's talking to believers, he's not talking to non-believers. I was going to ask you to read. Did you get me Ephesians 5:18? All right. Who wants to read? Lift up your hand real quick, and it'd help me instead of turning to it. You could actually read from the Bible, or you can read off of the overhead there. Who will read? Lift your hand real high. Okay, I'd like for you to read from the New King James if you have it. Anyone got New King? Oh, just read it from up here, okay? Will that work? Okay. But first, I think we can read, okay, we'll read Ephesians 5:18. Look what it says. No, let me get this one. I thought it was over there. Ephesians 5:18. We're all familiar with this one, but let me take you here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk. Listen, these people would get drunk. And he said, now when you get drunk, that makes you bold, and you waste your money, and you waste your time. And when they were drunk, he says, you don't walk straight, and you don't think straight. You don't speak clearly. You don't speak clearly. And dissipation literally meant waste and squandering and some of those things that followed that direction. So Paul says, just don't go there. Don't get drunk and intoxicated on the world's wine. But look, he says, be filled with the Holy Ghost in the old King James. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Here he says, be filled with the Spirit. Same thing, Holy Ghost or Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Because he said, when you are filled with the Spirit and not full of the old wine, then you will speak clearly and you will think clearly and you will walk straight. You will walk the straight and narrow. You won't be wandering off here and there. You'll have a lot of help, Ephesians, if you will walk this walk and not just talk the talk. All right. So who would like to read 2 Corinthians Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Would you read that, Art? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. You got it, Gabby? Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
And
Okay. I think I want to carry it. Did you read verse 8 too?
For by grace you have been saved.
There, that's what I'm looking for. Read that again.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
So he's saying it's a gift. By grace, he's trying to tell these people, you've been saved by grace. You can't go back and pick up the law and try to keep that because you have been saved by God's grace. He loved you that much. There isn't anything you can do to earn it. Just walk close to him, be with him, believe that Jesus died for your sins, and you'll be saved by grace. So Paul keeps it very simple, and he's telling them, you've been enriched with all. Let's go back and read this part. I want to tell you. So give me, I didn't have that down, but chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen what Paul says to them, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I'm sure those people thought, uh-oh, I'm out of here. How can I be holy and without blame? And did they think they were doing that under the law? I don't think so. All right, now look at verse 5. He goes on to comfort them to say, look, wait, before you throw me out, there's more. That means God has, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. He adopted us through Jesus. God himself adopted us through his son Jesus. According to what? Look, read that word. Good pleasure. Paul said that makes God happy that he adopted. He's got some kids now. It was his good pleasure to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted. Look at verse 7. In him we have what? We said it last week, redemption. Different scripture though. In him we have redemption through the blood. You have, he's telling these guys, you have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You folks have everything. You don't have to be out here living like hopeless paupers. You're depressed. You're in despair, and you're not sure Jesus is Lord. You're not sure who he is. And Paul's just beginning to lay a few things out to say, let me just show you some of the things that you actually have. All right, who will read chapter 1, verse 13? Chapter 1, verse 13. Some say, well, I already received the Holy Ghost when I got saved. When I got saved, now we know and understand that we cannot come to the Lord except the Holy Spirit draw us. Amen? So we are drawn by the Spirit, and we come to the Spirit. But what's the difference between that and being filled with the Holy Ghost? Because a lot of people today don't believe that we need that second work of the Holy Spirit or the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because we got him when we received him when we got saved. All right, so let's read chapter 1, verse 13. Who's going to read that for us? All right, Norma, read that last one. There you go. Okay, were you reading that with her? Look, it says, after you trusted, after you believed that Jesus died and rose from the grave, after that, you heard the word of truth. You heard the gospel of salvation in whom you have believed. So now you're a believer. And look at this. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit led us there. And it's a seal of God's approval upon our life. So we can come to salvation. And it's we were taught that it is a guarantee of our salvation, a guarantee until Jesus comes. That it's a guarantee, the seal of salvation. So then we want to go now a little bit farther. So Paul said, yes, 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 I know you've been sealed with a promise. God promised us that we could come to him by the work of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, we haven't gone back to the exact basis. Maybe I should have started with the basics tonight over in John, where Jesus was going away, and there was a group of people that saw him be caught up in the cloud, and he left, John chapter 1. And as he was leaving, he told the people, he sat down, and Acts chapter 1, they repeat this, Jesus had told them, now you go and wait up in the upper room, remember that? You go wait in the upper room, and the promise of the Father will come. You have the promise of the Father. Well, they wasn't quite sure what that was. But the Holy Ghost came, and Jesus said, listen to what Jesus said. He was going away, but he said, it's very, very, very important for you that I go away, that the Holy Spirit will come. And he called him the Comforter. That the Comforter will come, because Jesus knew, I won't be walking, holding hands with you, one-on-one with you now. I'll be out of here. And you're going to need to be comforted, believe me, because I won't be with you, fishermen. I won't be with you, sweet people. You're going to be all alone, but I'm going to go away, and I'm going to talk to the Father, and the Father will send you this Comforter to help you. Now, who was he talking to? His disciples, the believers, his mother, doubting Thomas, all of the disciples, Mary Magdalene, all of those that followed him. They all knew it, okay? But he said, now go wait, because I'm going to send you something else here. So it gets really good there. Maybe I'll pick that part up next week. All right, so we go a little farther. So now he says, you've been saved by grace, you guys. I'm just reminding you, you've been saved by grace. You've been adopted. You've been forgiven. And you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And look at chapter 2, verse 6. All right, Briss, I saw your hand up. Read that real loud. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And what else? Somebody say, and what else? This. Okay, read it, sis, if you have it. Whew. Church, we can't even wrap our little minds around that. That is just so big, and he's telling these guys who are acting like total losers. I don't use that word, but I'm just saying that's what they're acting like. They're acting like little orphans that don't have a father or a mother. And he says, look, he has, look at verse 5. Even we who were, put it number 5, 5 and 6. I'm sorry, you got to go all the way back. Look at verse 5. Even when we who were dead in trespasses. Somebody say, that's me. We were dead. We were dead in trespasses. What did he do to us? Paul says, what did he do to you? He made us alive together with Christ. We died with Christ. We came up with Christ. If there was no resurrection, then we wouldn't be able to get up. We would just lay there like dead carcasses. No, he says, no. You were raised up together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved. And, I love this, and it just keeps getting better. Raised up together, made us sit together, made us, he made us, he made me go up there and sit with Jesus. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, right inside him. There we are. We're on earth tonight. We're in two different places at once. Isn't that something, church? Isn't that just the most amazing thing you ever heard? Here we are, right here on earth, but we are seated. And he said, I had to make you. You are seated up there with Christ. And these people are looking at him, I'm sure, like a puppy dog hearing a funny sound. What? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You sit in heavenly places with him. All right, look at verse 210. I already read that. We are his workmanship. 210, where's that? Yeah, at that time, you were without Christ. Oh, I love this. Look at verse 12. I'm sorry, guys. I know I just get to reading this and it just unfolds so much. Can you put 12 up? All right, 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ. All of us were at one time. We were without him. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope and without God in the world. Say those next two words. Verse 13. What's those first two words? But now. But now. Next time you get depressed or that devil comes whispering in your ear, you're not, and you haven't got, and you're not going to get it or whatever. You say, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off, you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Talking about plutocrats, here they are again, so much wealth. He says, you don't even know what you have. And then verse 14, let's go, just go there. 14, for he made himself, look at this, for he himself is our peace. Sometimes we ask, oh God, give me peace, I need peace. No, he is it. We just read Sunday where we are his, or he is our wisdom. He's everything. And here he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two. He said, I don't want you separated from God. I want you one new man with him, thus making peace. Okay, now that starts getting heavy there, and I don't have time to explain all this to you, but I'm just saying, he said, no, you're one man with him. Can you believe that, Kathy? You're one with Jesus. All right, get that in your heart and in your mind. 2:10. Oh, I didn't even read 2:10. That's what I said read. Read that, Brother Art, real loud, please.
For we are his.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. He said, this is why we're here. God prepared some places where we're supposed to walk. And we are his workmanship. You know, a man builds a house, men build things. But God built us. He says, you're my workmanship, my masterpiece. I created you in Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that you Ephesians should walk in it, that you Portavillians should walk in it, that California should walk in, all of us should walk in it. Whew. So much he's giving them. All right, I think I already read, I went kind of meddled and got there to chapter 1, but we've been adopted by him, blessed with, Paul said, you guys have been given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, every morning when we pray, or whenever you want to pray, like Jesus told us to pray, my Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, on earth as it is in heaven, just like that. Well, here's what he says right here. Where was I reading? Were you with me? What'd they say? Yeah, you're not far off. You're with him. You're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Man, we're members of the people in heaven. We're a member of another world. We are citizens of that world and citizens of America. We're American citizens, but we're also heavenly citizens. And so Paul's trying to get all of these beautiful things to them. Okay, so after he says all of that, and there's so much more that we could go into here. You can see how much I love this. I mean, I read this over and over and over for years. And even when I was on the road way back there, when I was going to have my first daughter, I remember just reading this chapter 3, verse 16. Oh, that he would grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the Spirit by the inner man. Be strengthened in the inner man. This is just so full. But Paul said, so with all of that knowledge, you know who you are. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus. You have all these spiritual blessings as it is in heaven. But how come we don't have all those? You know, sometimes we just feel like, again, sometimes little orphans. So I'm reminding you tonight, as Paul reminded them, look, and I'm reminding myself too, we have been bought. And so it's okay to say your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, everything is love. Everything is peace. There is no war in heaven. There's no bickerings. There's no fussing. There's no fighting. There's no sickness, no disease, no fear, no worry, no stress, nothing except the glory of God just fills the entire planet of heaven. And one day it'll be here. But he said, you can also have it in your mind, no matter whether you're going through a storm. The little new song they sung Sunday is, how's that go, Lynn? When there's a storm, God steals the storm. When there's a storm, he steals it. And so he takes care of all those things. But in spite of all these things, Paul announces to them, he says, but you be filled with the Spirit. You just said we're saved. I know, and you were saved by the Spirit. But then he says, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled. Oh, and we can go over to John maybe next week and talk about all the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he says, now don't be drunk. Drunk means to give yourself over to something because you're intoxicated. Don't get drunk on wine or booze or alcohol or illicit sex or whatever. Don't get drunk on that. Because drunkenness, he says, it'll cost you. And you give yourself over to that. That's why Paul is saying, don't give yourself over to that. Give yourself over to the Holy Ghost. And if you'll give yourself over to him, he will take you the next miles down the road until Jesus comes. So you've got like, when we read that earlier, I think it's in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Yeah, verse 18. Put up 5:18. Please, it says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That means, dissipation means wasteful. Just don't waste anything on the worldly riotous living. But be filled with Spirit. It's like you've got a negative and a positive in the same sentence. You don't get a lot of that. Now you get a whole bunch of negatives and positives in the book of Proverbs. You know, if you do this, then I'll do that. And there's a lot of ifs and thens in Proverbs. But here you've got the negative, some would call negative, but then he gives you the blessing, the positive. Be filled with the Spirit. So he says, you need the Holy Spirit, because when I'm out of here, it's going to be a really evil day. Now, Paul has given them the words of Jesus. You're going to need to be filled, because you don't need your vision blurred. You need to be able to walk straight. But when you're living in the Holy, my goodness, our time is gone, church. Okay. I think I'll stop right there. Okay, I'll stop with this because Easter is coming. And these guys, the people of Israel, always celebrated two great feasts. They celebrated Passover, and they celebrated Pentecost. That's the only two that I want to mention. Because Passover, they were celebrating when God brought them out of Egypt's bondage. Remember, he said, kill a lamb, a spotless lamb. Kill it in the evening and drain its blood and put the blood over the doorpost of your house and over the, what do you call that part up there, threshold? Put it over the door, and when the death angel comes, he'll pass over you. And sure enough, on that Passover, they killed the lamb, they put the blood over, and there were screams as the death angel came and slayed all the Egyptians. They were slain. You'd heard all of those you heard all the Jewish people in their house silent. I don't know, maybe they were crying for their, you know, they knew those people. But they were, every year they celebrated coming out of Egypt's bondage with the blood of that lamb. Which, that blood of that lamb, that little lamb was a type of Jesus. Okay, it's a type of who Jesus is. So then Jesus, let me just do this quick. We may have time to go to prayer here. But right after Passover, after they celebrated that feast, exactly 50 days later, they would go out and have the Feast of Harvest, and then they would bring in the harvest of wheat from the corners, from the middle of the field, and then they would share it. They would bring in the harvest, and they'd give it away. Okay, then from Passover, we don't celebrate coming out of Egypt anymore. We celebrate Jesus dying on the cross. Amen? Our lamb that was slain. Okay, now we celebrate Jesus and his blood. So his blood is where? Not over the door of our houses, but over the door of our minds. So we have the blood of Jesus over our minds and over our hearts. So when danger comes, when that lying, thieving spirit comes against us, he just has to keep moving. You say, yeah, but how about my attacks? Well, how about the God, how about our Father that keeps us? How about us knowing that we are adopted? And he says, I'll take care of you. Just let me handle this, all right? So then we celebrate the blood of Jesus when he died on the cross. But listen to this. If you can, I hope I'm not going too fast here. But actually, exactly 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, exactly 50 days down the road was the day of Pentecost, where the Jews celebrated Pentecost, the harvest. But that is when the Holy Ghost came in the upper room. And you're talking about a harvest. Remember where it says there were 2,000 saved in one day, and then 3,000, and then 5,000, and you and I are a product of what happened in the upper room? Talking about a harvest, that was the harvest. That was that great harvest feast. And so 50 days from Easter, Easter's coming, and exactly, it's still just like that. And then 50 days after Easter happens, it will be the day of Pentecost. And I don't know if you remember, but back in 2020 is when COVID passed over and we moved back into our churches on the day of Pentecost. I'm saying, Lord, could you have something for us on the day of Pentecost that's getting ready to come 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand with me? Aren't we just a blessed people? Oh, my goodness, we're so blessed. I know I talked a lot to you tonight, but you know what? I believe we just needed that. So it's all right. Well, okay. We got to get our babies in there. So in the name of Jesus, hallelujah.